Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Singing Majesty. Majesty. Your grace has found me just as I am. Empty hand above love in my hand. We're singing. Oh,
Amen. Greetings in the mighty name of Jesus. Grace and peace be unto you, my brothers and sisters. Good night. We are so glad that you have tuned in tonight. Amen. What an awesome day to be alive. What an awesome day to be saved. Amen. God is good and he is worthy to be praised. We lift him up. We magnify and we glorify him tonight. We bless God. Amen. For who he is. Amen. In our lives. We thank God that he is God all by himself. Amen. We sing a song back in the day. God don't need no matches. He is fire by himself. Hallelujah. He is all we need. Hallelujah. If you have Jesus, you are in the majority. Amen. No matter what the numbers look like. Amen. Well, we thank God tonight for you, and especially you tuning in. We are Assistant Pastors, Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where our co-founder is Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. Our senior pastor is the awesome, the dynamite Bishop Kevin J. Jones. And we thank God for all of the leaders there, amen, the heart leaders, amen, our prophets of the house, amen. We thank God for what he's doing, amen. And they told us that this is the year, amen, for unprecedented. And I'm telling you, God showed up in our lives, and he proved that he is doing things that are unprecedented. We had the opportunity, amen, to be homeowners again, and we thank God for it. But I'll tell you right now, God has spoken, amen, through the prophet of God. And I just want to share this testimony before we even go on, that we bought a house, and the market is crazy right now. So if you were able to close on a house, tell me. You better let me. I'll let you know right now. It's God. And so, but we bought a house, and the owners were selling it as is. And so, but the Lord had gave us a realtor who have a heart. And so the realtor had them to renovate and do all kind of stuff. And during the process, they kept reminding the realtor, listen, we are selling this house as is. But they eventually paid to fix up a whole bunch of stuff and did not increase the price. So that is unprecedented. If they're going to fix something, if they're trying to sell as is, they're going to add it to the price of the house, but they did not, because it's unprecedented. Hallelujah. So if you are doing anything, your business or whatever you're trying to do in this year, believe that God is going to do something unprecedented, that you will blow your mind what the Lord will do for you and through you. So be encouraged tonight, and we thank God that God is really moving the light of the world. And we have services every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We have Sunday school at 9 a.m. in the JLSCC at 9 a.m. to 9:30. And we have noonday Bible study at 12 o'clock every Wednesday, and Word Up Wednesday at 7 p.m. We are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Amen. And we thank God that we are also on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook. Check us out. Our website is comingtothelight.org. And I'm telling you, we thank God for everything he's doing. But you're tuned in now to the Butterfields Ministries Worldwide. And you can check us out on our website at butterfieldsministriesworldwide.com. And then we also have a website where we do our counseling, our marriage counseling, family counseling, and it's called Marriage Utopia, marriageutopia.org, marriageutopia.org. Check us out, amen, and support us in the name of Jesus. But we have this program every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to offer the word of God to those of you who we always need encouragement. We always need a word. I mean, no matter how much word we get, we can never get enough word. And we thank God tonight for the opportunity just to extend this broadcast to you, especially you. We pray tonight that you will hear something that that will bless your life, that I will give you another lift and take you to another realm in the Lord. Amen. Because we have a man of God who's a part of our body, our local body at Light of the World, and he's one of the ministers there, and his name is none other than Minister Joseph Jones, and he's going to come to you tonight. Amen. Whatever God has given him, amen, and I pray that you would get your Bibles, get ready, amen, to hear the word of God. This Pastor Jones, Minister Jones, you are now live on the air.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. How are you all doing today?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing fine. Praise God for your testimony. And God is faithful, and he will bless his people as you bless him through praise and worship. Amen. So we thank God for you and your blessing today.
Amen.
Just like to say good evening to everyone and all our listeners tonight. I would just like to just say that God is moving when we don't even think he's moving. He's always there and behind the scenes and doing what he needs to do to bless us. And tonight is no other different night than we just want to give a word to those who are listening. And we just thank God for the listeners, and we thank the Butterfields for carrying out this broadcast to allow people to use their talents and gifts and then spread the word of God to the people who may not be able to get to the house of prayer. So tonight, we just thank God for everyone who's listening. And we want to go to Matthew's, no S, I always say Matthew's with an S, but it's Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 13 through 17 and verse 20. Matthew 16, 13 through 17 and verse 20. We're going to be reading out of the King James Version, and then afterwards we will have a short prayer, and then we'll move into the Word. The King James Version reads in Matthew 16, 13 through 17 says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and the others Jeremiah, and or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And verse 17, and Jesus asked and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. We go down to verse 20. Then charged he his disciples, he being Jesus, that they should not tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people, Lord. I thank you for using me to be a humble servant before you, God. And I ask you, Lord, use my lips to pray to spread your gospel, Lord, and that those who may hear to receive a word that will carry them for the rest of their life. God, Father God, we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all things. We thank you for traveling and mercy. We thank you for a blessed day that you allow us to see. And, Lord, we just give you the honor and the praise. Lord, we ask you again, open our hearts and minds, Lord, to receive the word of God. Lord, that we receive what is needed to for us, Lord, that it carries us through the rest of our lives. We thank you, O God. We give you the praise and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to use for a subject tonight, who is the GOAT? Now, most sports fans know what that means. For those people who do not know what G-O-A-T stands for, what periods in between each letter, G.O.A.T, that's the acronym for the greatest of all time. So I'm not talking about Billy Goat Gruff. I am not talking about nobody like that. I'm talking about who is the GOAT of all times. Who is the greatest of all times. During this time of football and basketball season, you will hear discussions repeatedly over who is the greatest of all times in these two sports. And usually in football, you hear the same. Tom Brady, Jim Brown, Gail Sayers. Who have you want to call? Jerry Rice. And then in basketball, of course, you don't hear Michael Jordan, LeBron James, or Kobe Bryant. These names will continue to come up because they think that they're the GOAT of all, the greatest of all times. And depending on the era that you was born in, you might go as far back as Kareem, Wilt, or Bill Russell, depending on who you admire. But this perspective comes from a close and special relationship with those players or just being a fan of that person. So we have to understand that when we say who is the GOAT, that is a personal relationship or a personal thought towards that person. But look, but no one can convince you to change your mind based on your personal view of that person. And we only find this argument in sports because it's defined to one particular area in the accomplishment of a human being. In other sports, the criteria are far more complicated to measure other than tennis and golf. Because you can't call a baseball team, get a GOAT out of a baseball team. It's too many players. It's too many people. You can narrow it down, yes, but most of the time it comes down to one person that you're looking at. Well, let's look at this in the spiritual realm. As Christians, there should be there should not be a difference with our thinking and our relationship with Christ. Depending on your relationship or need, Christ can be the GOAT in many areas and in different areas in your life. Like he could be the GOAT as the leader or healer, be your provider, your savior, your counselor, and your comfort. So all these areas are most important to a born-again believer. And as we should know, as Christians, we know who Jesus is in our life. We should not be concerned about how people view us or being seen, but we should be concerned about seeing the people seeing Jesus in us. See, to be honest with you, we already know the answer to who is the GOAT in the world of Christianity, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greatest of all times. And I want to prove this through song and through scripture. See, I don't want you to just take my word for it because, you know, as the old folks used to say, the proof is in the pudding. Let's go to the scripture. Look at Philippians, the second chapter, verse 9 through 11. Look what God has written about his son Jesus. He says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And that name is Jesus, that every knee should bow of things of heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the greatest of all times. And see, then you, if you look at Acts 4 and 12, it gives you the same information, let you know who is the GOAT, the greatest of all times. It says, look, Acts 4 and 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If that don't tell you God is the greatest of all time, I don't know what is. But I think you need a little more proof, because Isaiah 9 and 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government should be upon his shoulders. And his name should be what? Now, here we go. Here are the different names that we give people because we think they are the greatest of all time. Look what we give. God has given Jesus his names. He said we shall call him Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And then just the last scripture, Isaiah 11, 1 and 2. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So look at all these scriptures that points to the fact that Jesus is the greatest of all times. If that's not enough, let's look at some songs that we sing. Look at this song. There's a song that says, there is none like him. The lyric says, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Now, we know we done fell in love with some people, and you know we told you, oh, you my heart and all this. But this song says no one else can touch my heart like you do. And then this is what it said. He said, I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Now, when you write stuff like that, you know, hey, that there is a GOAT in Christianity, and that is Jesus Christ. I can't leave it there. Look at this. How about the song by Donald Hobbs called Call on the Name of Jesus? The lyric says, here it says, call on the name of Jesus. Look what they what he calls them. He said, he's my healer. Call on the name of Jesus. He is our provider. Call on the name of Jesus. He is our protector. Call on the name of Jesus because he's our strong deliverer. Then he turns around and says, there's no name that is greater, that is stronger than our Savior. And so then I'm going to give you one more because I just want you to understand. I like to do things in threes because of the fact that I want you to understand I'm just not pulling this out of the air. And then the other song says, nobody's greater. And that song says, I searched all over and couldn't find nobody. Now, you know, you mm-hmm. just searching them. You went all over the world, and you couldn't find nobody? He said, no, mm-hmm. not only that. He said, I look high, and I look low, and I mm-hmm. still couldn't find nobody. And then he says, nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. The man had to say it three times. And again, that is proof positive for you to know there is no one greater than Jesus Christ. And so we have to understand that everybody will give someone of that title, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But I know through this text, we find Jesus is the greatest of all time. Let's look at the scripture. Let's go to the text. We find Jesus having a conversation with the disciples. Matthew 16:13-14. It says, the Bible reads, it says, who do men say that I am? Jesus asked the question to the disciples this. Now, Jesus already knew the answer, but I believe he wanted his followers to hear what the word on the street was around town. And so then he said, I wanted you to know as Christians, people already have a perceived notion of who you already are. See, don't That's get right. it twisted. When you go to work, folk know who you are. When they see you in the grocery store, folk know who you are. And so they already have a perceived notion of who you are claiming to be, which is a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ. But the question is, are they right or wrong with their thoughts about your Christianity walk? See, that's the question. Are they right or are they wrong about your Christian walk? See, can they accuse you of being a follower of Christ or being a pretender on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings? See, if they had a warrant for your arrest and for being a Christian, will it hold up in court as being or will you be like Peter on that day and deny Jesus three times? I just want to know, which Christian are you? But if you look at the response from the disciples, this is what they said in verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Now, he asked them a question, and he had given, the disciples are giving the street the questions that are coming from to them, the answers from the street. He said, they are the John Baptist, or some say you Elias, and others said Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But see, Jesus had to put a pen a pen in that question and come back with this one. Jesus turned right around and asked the same question to his disciples, hoping to get a personal review from them. He said, but who do you say that I am? In verse 15. See, you got to understand that I am is a reference to God Almighty. And you can go back in Exodus 3:17 when Jesus was speaking, when God was speaking to Moses, and he said, tell them I am that I am. See, if you look at it in this word, we know it's amazing how God the Father and the Son are on one accord and is the same person in two different forms. And see, Jesus is God and God is Jesus. And Jesus is just as much as God and God is just as much as Jesus. So that's why he said, tell them that I am, that I am. But he asked the disciples, who do you say that I am to you? And see, all through the Bible, you will see that the scriptures refer to each other in different capacities as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But Jesus wanted to know what the disciples were thinking. Now, you would think after spending time with the Lord, the disciples' response should have been different from the people on the street. See, they said what they think. But the disciples should have saw a red flag when Jesus asked that question a second time. Because, like I said, Jesus already knew that. And if you had spent any time if you spend any length of time with anyone, you should know who they are. See, the question is, are you spending enough quality time or intimate time with the Lord? And if so, you would know Jesus, who Jesus is to you. It wouldn't be a pause in the answer, or you wouldn't be no doubt. See, it's a shame in the natural that we would spend time with a person and don't really know them or really don't know who they are. And people make statements like, you know, I thought I knew you, or you surprised me, or I didn't think you would do something like that. Why? Because these statements comes from not spending enough time with that person or not being in tune with them, because we so infatuated with the outside and not getting to know who they are from the inside. See, basically what I'm trying to say is, in the naturally, we move too fast in a natural relationship, but we take our time at a snail place to get to know Jesus as our personal Savior. Now, isn't that backwards?
Mm-hmm.
We would give our person our heart and our love and our intention more than we would give God, who can save our souls, who all those people that we say a healer, provider, a comforter. And we would take our time to give Jesus our life. It's sad to say, as humans, we do some backward stuff. We really do. We will fall in love with someone quicker than we will give our life to Christ. Look, let's go to verse 16. It says, Peter, and this is what Peter's answer. After Jesus had asked the disciples and gave the wrong answer, this is what Peter came up with. Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, if you break that down, what Peter was saying, said, "Thou art the Christ," Christ means thou art the anointed one. And then he goes farther and says, "The Son of the living God." That term, the Son of the living God, means when Jesus came from heaven with a heavenly body, that made him the Son of God. But when he put on an earthly body, that when he became the Son of Man. So therefore, we should know Jesus is the greatest of all time. And if you don't know, now you know. And you need to recognize that. Because of the fact that the things that he does and the things that he has performed through his lifetime, there's no other, and nobody's greater. Verse 17 says, basically, verse 17 was just saying that he said, do not, he said, Jesus answered him, he said, blessed are them, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is heaven, has done that to him. Basically, what Jesus was telling him was, he was telling the disciples, do not, he said, listen, this was a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual download from heaven, to Peter, and gave him spiritual information through the Holy Spirit. In other words, you are not that smart to know what you just said. That had to be a download from heaven to get that information, because, again, as humans, we're not that smart. It was the Spirit of the Lord giving you supernatural insight to that question, to give that answer. But this only comes from spending time and knowing who is the greatest of all time. As we lose to our last scripture, our last verse, in verse 20, look what Jesus says to them. He said, then charged he his disciples that they should not tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now you have to ask yourself, why would Jesus tell 12 people, do not tell anybody who I am? After he just asked you, who do people say I am? And then turned around and asked them, who do you say that I am? So that's, I'm like, okay, Lord, where are you going with this? See, Jesus told his disciples, don't tell anyone who he was, because he did not want his name to gain any fame. Jesus knew his time had not come. Therefore, he wanted to continue about his Father's business by offering salvation to the people and helping those who needed healing and deliverance. See, understand this. Jesus wanted his teaching to save and lead humans to God the Father and not the miracles. Understand that. Sometimes you will have people following you just because of what you can do for them, instead of following Jesus for what he has to offer them. look, understand something. Jesus is saying, I don't want to gain fame because the people will be looking at the wrong things. They will follow me just because of the miracles and not what I have to offer them, which is eternal life. Look, Jesus told them that. Tell us about it. He did that five times in the New Testament. In five instances, Jesus told people not to tell no man who he was. Matthew 8:4 says, when Jesus healed the man of leprosy, he said, tell no man who I am. And then in Matthew 9:30, he healed the two blind men. He did the same thing. He said, tell nobody who I am. And then when in Mark 5:43, when Jesus healed Jairus' daughter from death, he told them the same thing. Don't tell nobody who I am. Mark 7:36, Jesus healed the man who was deaf and mute. Again, he tells the man, don't tell anybody who I am. And the last one, Luke 4:41, Jesus healed the man of the devil. He said, tell no man who I am. And I'm going to tell you something. Unlike some Christians, man, when we do something great, we want everybody to know. We want everybody to know we help Sister So-and-so and her kids and bought them food, and then we help Brother In-N-Out with a ride to work. We want to tell everybody. Jesus was not prideful or boisterous. Caring about the acts towards the people. See, he didn't want people to know that because he didn't want people to follow him for the wrong reason. He just wanted them to receive the blessings and deliverance of the Lord. But you know, some of us, man, we can't wait till we get a new car. We get in the car, and before we go to church, we ride around the block. And we didn't wash that thing six times before we even put it on the road. We want everybody to know we got a new car. Everybody know we got a new pair of shoes. Don't get a girlfriend. Oh, we want everybody to know that we got a girlfriend. But Jesus was just honest. He didn't want everybody to know what was going on. The Bible says sometimes you don't like let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Reason being, mm-hmm. because sometimes it causes confusion. People want to know what you're doing, but they really need to know, want to know what you know and who you know, which is mm-hmm. Jesus. And we're offering that to people. See, when you know who you are in Christ, you do not have to go around proving yourself to others. See, as Christians, we should not worry about trivial things like how much other people are giving or doing the offering. You know, I wonder how much they put in and who lead the songs in the choir or who's head of the deacon board missionary. See, we worried about the wrong thing. We should be focusing on introducing those who are lost in this world to Jesus Christ, to helping those in how to live a Christian life. If you look at Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 4, when Jesus is talking about giving alms to others without being seen, it's the same thing. He's telling those five instances when he said, tell no man who I am. How many times through the Bible and through the New Testament Jesus tell people who have been an encounter with him not to tell others about him? I just gave you five of them. And see, Jesus was not looking for fame or popularity. He wanted to be about, again, his Father's business. See, some people have distorted imagination of who Jesus is. Some want him to be a prophet, and others want him to be a part-time God, and others want him to be just God only and not believe in the Trinity. Oh, I believe in God, but I don't believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Man, I mean, I don't understand that. You just want part of God and not all of God. You just want, you know, the healing, but you don't want the Savior. See, the reason why we can't recognize Jesus is because we don't spend enough time with him. What you don't know, what you can't be informed of, and you can't speak on because you have no revelation of it. See, we try to use Jesus as a genie and only come to him when we want something for ourselves. You know, we go to Jesus and pray, Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, I need. But the Bible says, if you seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness, all these other things will be added into you. See, mm-hmm. we want or we need deliverance or healing and rescue from our problems. And we think just because we know Jesus, we think we're going to get everything that we need. And then there's another thing, too. Check this out. just because we can quote two or three scriptures, we think we know God, and we probably get them wrong. You know, you can't even say Jesus well, and don't even know where he's at, or go to John 3:16 and repeat that scripture and get that wrong. But we said we know God, but we said we love God, or we love the Lord, and we can't even love our brothers and sisters. See, we go around about our lives thinking that we are fine for the rest of our life just because, again, we can quote two or three scriptures. But when Jesus asked the question, who do you, see, he makes it personal. He said, who do you say that I am? And it should be a personal and intimate response. In other words, you can't talk about what you don't know about. And I can truly say that I know that Jesus is a provider. I can say that I know Jesus is a healer. I know and I can say that Jesus is a savior. Just, and you can say the same thing just by looking at your own life. So when we sit around and talk about things of quantity and quality, and we started saying stuff like, who's the greatest of all time? Our first thought should be Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one. See, these things should be recognizable to yourself and to others. How many times Jesus have been all that to you and some more? If we open the door right now for testimonies, we would have enough time in a day to tell everyone who is the greatest of all times. Y'all remember back in the day, Muhammad Ali used to say, I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest of all time. He used to say that because he was in the boxing realm. But to be honest with you, he is not the greatest of all time because you can't heal anybody. You can't give salvation to those who are unsaved. See, when you're the greatest, that means nobody else can compare to you. Listen, if you don't remember anything I say tonight, if you don't remember scripture, if you don't remember anything I say tonight, please keep this in your heart. Jesus did not want people to follow him for the miracles he performed. That's why he said, tell no man after he healed them. But he really, truly wanted everyone to be saved and have eternal life through salvation. So again, the next time the conversation comes up, or you're sitting around with a bunch of friends, and people are saying, who is the GOAT in football? Who is the GOAT in basketball, in boxing, and golf, Tiger Woods and all that? You can say, hey, you know what? I know who y'all say they are, but I'm going to tell you who the GOAT of all times in my life, and that is Jesus Christ. We have to understand that we have the best of the world in us, and it is Jesus Christ who give us the Holy Spirit. For those who listen tonight, I hope you receive the word tonight that will help you and understand that all these other things, that all this other criteria we put towards man, and all these other things that we measure people up against, we don't understand that Jesus is the greatest of all times. Nobody compares to him. No one is on the level of Christ. Again, look at the song that we sing about Christ our Savior. Nobody is greater. Call on the name of Jesus. There is none like you. I don't care how many times you fall in love. I don't know how many times that you think you got the right one and you just crazy in love with it. Nobody is greater. No one is stronger. No one can be a better provider, a better healer or protector than our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, who is the GOAT, the greatest of all times? Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much, man. The GOAT, amen, man. I tell you, you know, Jesus is the greatest of all time. That's why they call him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, amen. And you know, if you look at the book of Mark, especially in the fifth chapter, Mark began to show the power that Jesus had. In the fourth chapter, he showed where he had power over the wind, and he said, peace be still. And then he come down in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, and he began to show how Jesus had power over demons, where he healed a man that lived in the tomb. Then he showed the way he had power over sickness when the women had the issue of blood. And then he came down further and showed how Jesus had power over death when he healed Jairus' daughter. And so Jesus is the GOAT. He is the greatest of all times, no matter what you can think of, whatever area you can think of. Hey, that's when Peter then went fishing all night long, and they were professional fishermen. And Jesus said, just cast your net on the other side. Peter then could have said, listen, man, you don't know what you're talking about. Your daddy was a carpenter. You don't know. We've been doing this all our lives. But they say, nevertheless, at your word. And when they did that and saw what reward they got, Peter was so overwhelmed that he was the GOAT that he began to say, oh, go away from me. I'm unclean. I don't deserve to be in your presence because you are so great. And, you know, when we look at all the things that Jesus did, he is the greatest of all times. And, you know, I'm going to read some scriptures here. John demonstrates the power of Jesus. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And listen to this now. Now, you're talking about the greatest of all time? He said, all things that were made by him. And listen to this now. And without him was nothing made that was made. You're talking about the greatest of all time? Everything that was made by him. And anything else that was made has not been anything made that was not made. And in him, listen to this, in him was life. And the life was the light of man. You're talking about the greatest of all time. If you're in a dark place, Tom Brady can't do nothing for you. If you're in a dark,
that's right.
You're in a dark place, I don't care who the GOAT is and what, LeBron can't do nothing for you. Michael Jordan can't do nothing for you. But if you need a healer, hallelujah, you can call on Jesus. And the fifth verse said, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. He said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and the same came for a witness to bear witness to the light. Still talking about the GOAT now, Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. Now, the GOAT lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Oh, my God. Jesus is so great, and he's such the GOAT that he touched people even before he got to earth and after he left earth.
Yes.
You're talking about the GOAT. And so he was in the world, and the world was made by him. You hear that? He made something, and then he was able to live in it. You're talking about the GOAT. You talk about who's great.
And you know,
in the world, go ahead.
I didn't mean to cut you off, Butterfield, but look, check this out. As you were speaking, you know, a thing came to me that even God was so great, he was humble. And so with that said, when we do something as humans, we want everybody to know. We got billboards. We got tennis shoes named behind us. We got songs and dances and all this stuff. But we want the people to know that we've done this. And the things that Jesus done was far past what we could ever do. And he still said, tell no man what has happened. That's the humility. I mean, we find $5 on the street, we're going to tell somebody. And God had so much humility that he didn't have to have his name broadcast. He just wanted people to be saved, delivered, and set free. Because his love for mankind was greater than his popularity and his fame for himself. And so that tells me that I don't care what you do in life, if you're doing it for the wrong reason and your criteria is to be based on how great people will see you, all your stuff is living in vain. Because one thing about it is, you are not perfect. You can go through all those people that we named tonight, and I guarantee you can find some flaws in their life. But Jesus was perfect. And he did things the way that his Father would have him to do it. And he showed great power with humility. I just left a basketball game tonight, and I guarantee you the game that I left, I guarantee you the game went in overtime because a guy did a turnaround three and hit the shot to take it overtime. They're going to talk about that all week. But I guarantee you, if that same guy messed up next week, his name will be mud. And so what I'm saying is we give accolades and we put people on pedestals, and they are people. But then when they fall, we want to kick them and say they ain't all that in the first place. But Jesus was totally different. All the great things he done for us, and still you couldn't find nothing wrong. Even the people in the Bible said, we can't find anything wrong with him, so we can't crucify him, so we got to pass him on to somebody else. Because God was perfect, and he knew what he was doing. And again, with humility, of all those miracles he did, he still did not want to be recognized. But he wanted his Father to be glorified and that people be saved.
Amen. And you know, when you was talking about that, how he didn't want to be seen, I can picture him when he went to the wedding, and when we were growing up and we got a little talent, our mothers when we go out, our mothers like to try to let us perform. Johnny can sing. Y'all sit around. Let Johnny sing. Johnny can do this. And so kids who, even Kevin Hart and different comedians, they used to be, their parents used to put them up and to do little things to make everybody laugh, and now they're making millions off it. But I can see Jesus at this wedding, and his mama saying, hey, you probably run out of wine. Shoot, my son can take care of this.
Right.
And Jesus, hey, my hour ain't come yet. You know, he ain't looking for the fame. He ain't looking to try to push himself. He wanted, like you said, exactly, he wanted to make sure that the will of God be done, not just because he had the power. And even though Mary, you know, when he was 12 years old and he said what he said, Mary pondered that thing in her heart. So she knew that one of these days he's going to break out and do something great. And so she had it in her heart already. So when she saw the issue with them not having wine at this wedding, she just know, oh, this is time for God to move right now. But he began to say, hey, listen, my hour ain't come yet. So he was humble to make sure that he ain't doing stuff that he wanted to do. And like you were saying, he ain't trying to send up no email blast or no Facebook post saying that, hey, I'm a healer. He makes evil tell a lot of people in the Bible, you know, don't tell nobody, because it ain't about the miracle. It's about you believing in God. And so the scripture saying that as he came down to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them give them power to become sons of God, even them that believe on his name. And so you talk about the greatest of all time. He was able to put us in place that we would never be able to go. He put us in heavenly places, in which he was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. So you're talking about the GOAT, the greatest of all time. That is him wrapped up in everything, and the whole world exists only because of him.
Yes.
And it exists because of him and by him. I mean, it's another thing to want something, but the next thing is that you provided what you wanted. And so everything exists. The scripture I said read early, everything that was made by him. Oh, my God. And David had to say the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And the
yes.
world and they that dwell there. And you're talking about the greatest of all time? Tom Brady can't say he owns everything.
No.
I don't care how much money he got. I don't care how many Super Bowl rings he got. He still can't say he owns everything. That no matter what you call out, what name you call it on, whatever planet you call, it belongs to him. The greatest of all time is Jesus, because he is
yes.
he is the scriptures say he's life. If you want life, you got to get it in him. In him we live, we move, and have our being. You talk about the greatest of all times. He is that. And so we thank God for this word tonight. God is good, and he is awesome, and he wants us to recognize who he is. Because if we don't know who he is, if you don't know who a person is, you'll abuse it.
That's right.
If you don't know what a product is made for, you'll abuse it. If you don't know how that blow dryer is supposed to work, you're going to abuse it. So if you understand that, if you know who God is, then you live your life according to his will for your life. Because the only reason why we exist in this time, in this day and time, is to fulfill the purpose of God. God has a plan
yes.
for your life, and God wants you just to follow his plan. It's not about you. He brought you here. Jesus, before the world began, I told the Father to bring you here, and then he paid for your sin debt so you can have a better life. You can have eternal life. Not eternal damnation, because if you don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord, you will live in eternal damnation. We all going to live forever. But the issue is where you going to live.
That's right.
And who you going to be with living? You ain't going to even care who you living with if you're in hell, because it don't matter who's down there with you. I know they say misery loves company, but that's one place. Misery ain't going to love no company. Because you ain't going to know what's going on. You're going to just be concerned about you being burnt up. So we thank and praise God for that. If any of you out there want to comment on this word tonight, that Jesus is the GOAT, the greatest of all times. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Press 1 on your phone and we'll bring you live. We want to hear what your perspective is on the GOAT. And you might be a Tom Brady fan. You might be a Michael Jordan fan like me. And you you might be a Kobe Bryant fan. You might be LeBron. But who is the GOAT? Who is the GOAT? Who is the GOAT to you? Amen. Sometimes we think our mama's the GOAT because they're able to do some stuff that no other human can do. But we know that Jesus is the greatest of all times. Amen. Minister Jones, if you want to do your last comment and then close us out.
Okay. So, again, like I said, we put people on pedestals that really can't do anything for us. You may be laughing. You said we think our mama the GOAT and our father's the GOAT because stuff they've done in our lives. Like, I know my mom and dad did that, you know. But, again, we don't reverence God. With high regard as far as being a savior in our mm-hmm. in our lives, because we haven't been taught. And again, if you don't spend time with him, you don't know what he can do. And if you don't
That's
know
right.
What he can do, you won't give him that regard or reverence. Again, because we know that Jesus, the Father, and the Son are one. And then, again, they have different capacities in our lives, you know. So being the greatest of all time could be so many different areas, because again, we know him as just a prince of peace. We can sit down and just say, Lord, give me peace in this time of trouble, and we know that he can do just that. And we can't measure God. He's mm-hmm. unmeasurable. He's past finding out, you know. And we know that because he is the greatest, we sometimes
forget about giving him praise and giving him honor that we should, because of the fact mm-hmm. that we take it charismatically as we already know he is, but we don't have to give him the praise. No, he inhabits the praises of the people. And because mm-hmm. that we know that he's the greatest of all time, we have to give him, as they say in the streets, his props. We have to give him the glory mm-hmm. and the praise and honor mm-hmm. that he deserves. So as we close tonight, again, I hope that you have received a word that will help you recognize who is the greatest of all times. And if it's not Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, I will compel you to go back to the drawing board and put Jesus up against all those who you think that is great and compare mm-hmm. them to Jesus and ask them, what have they done for you lately? Because mm-hmm. when you didn't have any money to buy food or your lights about to get turned off, who stepped in? I know somebody loaned you the money, but who placed it on their heart to do that? Because, mm-hmm. again, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one, working in three different areas in your life because mm-hmm. he is the greatest of all time. Who could do that?
Yeah.
Who could do that? Who could be that? Three in one, one in three. But because he's the greatest, we know he is the GOAT, and Jesus is the greatest of all time. Let us pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come to you tonight and thank you for the word that was shared tonight. Lord, we hope that someone was here tonight that recognized that they really need you to be the GOAT in their lives. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for those who are listening tonight. We ask you to give them a special blessing, oh God, for taking time out to hear your word, not the messenger, but the message. And, Lord, we thank you right now for the Butterfields. Bless them in a mighty way, Lord. Keep them in your perfect peace, Lord, and your people, Lord, that we will meet back here again in your appointed place and time. Father, bless us as the night goes through, and, Lord, that we have sweet rest and wake up in the morning and give you praises for being the greatest of all times. Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing, and we give you the praise and honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Awesome, awesome word. Thank you so much for that word. And the greatest of all times, that he is, amen, the greatest of time. And we need to know, we need to tell somebody that he's the greatest. No matter what person come in your sphere and your surrounding and start to tell you about the problem they have, tell them about the problem solver, tell them about the way maker, tell them about the burden bearer. Tell them about your God. Tell them about your God. He is the greatest of all times. Amen. We thank God for this word tonight. We pray that you keep it in your heart, amen, that you be encouraged and inspired. No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, you realize that God, Jesus, is the greatest of all times. And not only that, he's on your side. He's here to work. He's here to work out your problem, help you work out your problem, and bless you, amen. So we thank and praise God again for this man of God, amen, for pouring out his heart tonight in this word. We pray that you let it resonate in your spirit, amen, that you would live by it, amen. So we want you to be encouraged, and if you feel led to, send a donation to Butterfield Ministries Worldwide, and you can go on our website, butterfieldministryworldwide.com, and do that, and or you can go to Marriage Utopia and also do that. Donate. We thank you again for bringing this word. I'm Minister Jones. Thank God for you and your wife. Amen, your family, and we pray God's blessing upon you. We pray God would bless you, and your reality would be greater than your greatest dreams in the name of Jesus. Amen. We want you to tell your neighbor, tell your friends that every Saturday night at 8 p.m. to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.
That's right.